This is Ted Roker here from UQ Journalism School. I'm chatting with Shirley, who is the news director here at 4SW, 4SB. This is going really well, isn't it?
G'day, Ted. My name is Shirley Way. I am the news director for Resonate Regional Radio, and we're headquartered here at 4SB in Kingaroy.
Cool. And so tell us about the station, a bit of the history.
I've been here at the station since 2015. So at the time that I arrived, we were Macquarie Regional Radio, which had a network of seven stations in inland regional Queensland. So that covers, I'll give you the call sign, so 4SB, which covers Kingaroy, so South Burnett, North Burnett, and part of the Western Downs. We've got 4ZR, which covers the Maranoa and Ballon. We've got 4VL, which covers Charleville, Cunnamulla, and Coolpe region. We also have Hot Country, which is hot-spotted in five towns, so obviously a country format. We have 4L, we also have 4HI, which covers the Central Highlands and Isaac region, and 4LM, which covers Mount Isa, Cloncurry. At the end of 2015, Resonate Regional Radio bought our network to add to their portfolio, which covers 4LG in the Long Reach and surrounds, and 4GC in Charters Towers. So we have our West, so they're all AM stations, but we also have FM in the Charters Towers, Long Reach, and Charleville and surrounds. So, you know, like the 4LG Long Reach brand, basically its geographic area is about the size of the state of Victoria. So it's sizable. Jeez. It's sizable. Now, the reason that Macquarie sold was that they'd just done the deal with Fairfax, so it meant that they wanted to keep their metro stations in places like Sydney and Brisbane. And because Fairfax owned the Northwest Star newspaper in Mount Isa, they were in conflict for the media ownership rules. Mm. So they decided to sell all of the regional Queensland stations to Resonate.
Jeez. And so did a lot of stations sort of shut down then?
No, none of the stations shut down. We just all moved into the Resonate family.
And so does the community here really rely on you guys?
Sorry?
Does the community here really rely on you guys to tell them the news?
Well, I think I'd like to think that every community relies on their radio stations, just as they do on their newspapers as well. You know, we all provide a very valuable service, not only in terms of news, but of course radio provides a strong entertainment factor as well for the music format, which is adult contemporary. West FM obviously a bit more hip for the younger folk.
Cool. And so what sort of news do you cover out here? What sort of big stuff?
So because I'm doing all of the news, the local news, for the 11 stations, I have two bulletins. I have one that covers our stations north of the Tropic of Capricorn and the other one that covers south of the Tropic of Capricorn. So the news here for 4SB will also go out to 4ZR and 4VL, Hot Country, and the Southern West FM brands. So, you know, the focus will be on what is local, hyper-local, and regional to those people. So, for example, so issues like Paradise Dam at the moment, the government's decision to lower the spillway by 5 metres certainly impacts on our North Burnett and South Burnett listeners. There's been recent grants of $1 million each to a number of drought-affected councils, so that will affect a number of people in our region as well. Things like coal seam gas is very topical in the Maranoa, Ballon area, 4ZR. 4VL, they have lots of exciting things happening out at Charleville and Cunnamulla. They've been, for a long time, they've had a nighttime observatory, and so they're now they've built a planetarium. So it no longer needs to be outdoors only, it can be, they can have people indoors as well. They're also developing their airport, which was, Charleville had a World War II base, helping to direct American aircraft during World War II. So they're amping up the history around that. So there's lots of things that happen. And any good dinosaur stories anywhere in Queensland? Absolutely.
Cool.
We've got a lot of fossils. Well, not here particularly, but further out west we do. So out past Quilpie, there's the Erromanga Natural History Museum. So they've got some of the largest dinosaurs. Winton, of course, from my Northern Bulletin. Richmond has a lot of marine fossils. Yeah. There's even further fossils out past Mount Isa. So a good dinosaur story goes a long way.
Yeah. That's cool. The thing is, like, we came out here because the university, we usually go to Jakarta in Indonesia. But so that stopped, and now they were trying to find somewhere we could go. And so the thing that we were told is, it's a media desert out here, and we've got to come out here and report stories. But what I've found is just, like, it's not true at all. Like, everyone's covering everything, and you're covering a huge area.
Mm. Yeah, there's always news to happen. So we're always looking for what is topical to people at the moment. You know, so one of the stories that I've been working on today, for example, is that the ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, is following up a proposal by the Banking Association to enact recommendations from the Royal Commission into banking. So part of that is to protect farmers in drought-affected areas, you know, by having, for example, low or no fee bank accounts, being able to not charge them interest if they're in an official drought declared area, just to help them get through the really tough times, given that the drought's been going on so long. So the ACCC has looked at what the banks want to do in terms of strengthening their code of practice, but it's saying it's still not quite good enough. We'd like you to do more. So, you know, that's a story that is of particular interest to our listeners as well.
Do you think that will help the farmers?
Yeah, I mean, because part of what they're saying is, for example, there would still be potential situations where customers could go into overdraft, perhaps without their agreement. They could still be charged a large interest on the overdraft amount, and the ACCC wants to stop that. They also want the banks to actually actively find eligible customers, market the product to them, and report on how many of those accounts were taken up. So it's open for public comment at the moment. So given that a number of farmers contributed to the Royal Commission, I'm sure they would be interested to know that opportunity is there for them to comment.
When we were talking to Corky yesterday, he was saying how resilient the community out in the South Bend is with the drought and all that sort of stuff. Have you seen that as well?
There is a lot of resilience, people have to be. But at the same time, you know, there is struggle as well underneath the surface. So as in any community, people need to help each other. And they should also rely on other services available. So if we had that spate of really bad accidents, for example, in the South Burnett, including that terrible one down Cumbia Way. So we had local people just coming together at one of the hotels, and particularly inviting the first responders, like the police and the emergency service workers and the ambulance people, to say, look, many of us know people who are grieving because of this, and we have to rely on you as our first responders. You know, kind of let's give a virtual hug, as it were, to all of you and say we're here for each other and there are services in town if you want to talk or need other help. So those kinds of things do happen all of the time.
Yeah, that's another thing that we're looking at is mental health in the area. I'm talking to Danita Potter, the councillor, later this Savo, about it, because she's been doing so much for that sort of thing. So that, like you're talking about, these crashes, they were to do with that sort of stuff.
There are community areas are full of small groups of people doing wonderful things, you know, and they will keep fighting hard for their community.
Yeah, we got the opportunity to talk with some firefighters last night.
Yeah.
And they're just like such a good group of guys. And
yeah,
just really trying to look out for the community.
But
they brought up mental health as well.
Yeah.
Apparently there was 9 suicide-related murder accidents in March this year, but in a matter of 3 weeks.
It was large.
Yeah.
It was large. It hit the community hard. So, as I say, you know, and that's why we have people within the community reaching out to them as well, not just the other way around, to say we really value the services that you provide.
So you said they had like a community meetup. Is that like a common thing to do, or
that was just sparked, I think, by a couple of people who decided that they wanted to do it for the communities. But there are groups like the Suicide Prevent up and a Suicide Prevention Group here. They do good work as well. You know, they do promotions like, you know, jumpers on trees out in the council forecourt, encourage people to come. They've had they recently had a special screening of the Michael Hutchins documentary as well, to again, you know, just to bring people together, talk about what services are available. So, you know, there's lots that happens.
I've been trying to talk to some psychologists or counsellors in the area. I'm having a chat with Christine Nissen on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, she does that sort of stuff in the area.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to see how so many people in the community are trying so hard to raise awareness, talk out.
Yeah, but then there's fun times too. You know, we've got a new festival like the Kingaroy Bacon Fest.
Yeah, that's
another one.
I was going to ask the mayor about that. Apparently there's a bit of a divide as well about moving away from the peanut to the pig. Like,
well,
is that an issue?
not necessarily. I mean, the peanut festival stopped quite a number of years ago.
It sort of went...
yearly, then became two yearly, and then stopped some time ago. And then we had the fire at Swickers, the bacon factory, a couple of years ago, and I think that was partly what sparked Catherine to think, oh, you know, like a pork festival, bacon festival would be terrific, because it is still it's a major industry here for us as well.
So who did you say runs that?
Catherine Stevens.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, she calls herself Chief Baconeer. You can get a dish.
She organises the Bacon Fest?
With a sizeable committee, yes, she does. So it was just kind of, and so she has links in with Stephanie, who works at the Department of Agriculture. So, you know, like, it's embracing your current industry. We do have our pro-peanut people who are trying to organise a big peanut, the Kingaroy. We came second in the What If... next big thing contest last year, so they were very disappointed in that. But you know, work continues. Like, whatever work is done to promote the region's festivals is a good thing.
Yeah.
And looks like there could be a bit of rain today. Could be a bit of rain.
We hope so.
Yeah. Because I was talking to where we're staying in Wanda, I was talking to the guy who owns it. He was saying like there hasn't been any really substantial rain for like 12 months. It's been, you know.
Yeah.
Dry house.
Yeah. Well, a number of the dams are going down. So
that's what you're saying.
So North and South Burnett councils together have $1 million each, which they've pulled together for a joint feasibility study on water security into the region. So the consultant for that, I've been assured by the mayor, is just days away from announcement.
Okay.
And that dovetails partly in with concerns about Paradise Dam. Because at the moment a lot of that water is going to the Bundaberg side of the dam, but a lot of the water originates on the Burnett side. So they're looking at ways, various interest groups are looking at ways that they would like to tap into that water.
Okay.
So we watch this space.
Yeah.
What kind of effects is it having on the community?
Well, I mean, you know, the council will tell you. I mean, the council, Tarong Dam has... Tarong Station has high priority access to water, I believe, from Boonjuma Dam, and council of course gets high priority allocations for use in urban areas. So, you know, what's comes after that, Sunwater manages the allocations to farmers.
Okay.
So, you know, we just work with what happens with that. So when one of the dams went below the cutoff point a while back, the state stepped in as well to talk with the councils and the farmers about what they could do to assist them. But, you know, it's just going to be an ongoing issue, I think, in a number of parts of the state until we get rain.
Well, we were talking to a local yesterday and they were saying about how it affects local businesses. People are being very cautious during this time and they don't want to spend money. Is that having, like, a big economic
effect?
I
mean, that's one of the things that I look at in the news as well, is that a lot of the drought assistance goes to the farmers first, to the primary producers. with the notion that if they're okay, then they will spend into the towns.
Okay.
But when the drought is this prolonged, it can have, you know, if they're still not spending or don't have the money to spend, then yes, it impacts on the businesses. So we've looked at that out west as well, in other drier areas as well, where, I mean, a year or more ago, one of the pubs out west was signalling that they might have to close because, you know, like their electricity and other costs and things like the licence fees are so high, they're just not making enough to cover it. So they really welcomed it when the Katter's Australian Party won their bid to lower the licence fees for the small rural and remote pubs. So, yeah, there's lots going on.
Are we seeing many, like, businesses being shut down because of it? Or having to close?
I'm probably not the best person to ask as to personal reasons why businesses close.
Have you, like, noticeably seen more, though, closing down? Is that a thing?
From time to time I notice businesses closing down, but I also notice businesses opening.
Yeah.
So...
Do you cover much animal stuff here as well? Much animal stuff?
What kind of animal stuff?
Well, like how it could be affecting them with the drought and those sort of conditions.
We'll get those stories from time to time, but, I mean, the other... Yeah, we also have a number of dairy farmers around here, so they have a separate set of issues.
Yeah.
Around the price of milk, etc. The stories will surface from time to time.
Sort of looking at a koala one.
But I guess we are, to a certain extent, we're closer to the coast than, say, some of our other broadcast areas, like Charleville and Longreach, which are noticeably much drier.
Mm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, well, I guess thanks for putting up with me.
Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, McKenna. Yeah.